Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we may be old, but we're not dead yet. Right, Patrick? Patrick? Patrick, you okay?
I'm here, too.
Day four. Thursday. Day four, perfect pop week. Beer three.
Nice crack, Jim.
All right.
Gotta stay hydrated.
Man, that's it's important.
Yeah.
The doctor told me that. So, it is Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
I say so too often. We are talking about perfect pop this week.
Yeah, it's really, really been fun.
Do you have a definition for perfect pop?
No, I think we tried to define it back early on, but it's really that song that feels really complete to you and just, you kind of know it.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't really describe it in a definition.
One thing I will say is I don't define pop very narrowly. I think there's some people who take the word pop and they think like it has to be one of those like really tight, like, you know, under 3 minute, you know, first chorus, verse songs. But
no,
that's not really it.
No, that's
a pop
not
song
it.
In a broad sense can take many, many forms. We're talking about popular music.
Popular music,
right?
Released to the populace.
That's right.
Yeah.
We just called it perfect pop because we like the way that alliteration sounds. Let's start here on this particular episode with a call from a guy whose voice might be recognizable to longtime listeners of the show.
Hey, Jim and Patrick. Jimmy Linetti. So here's my perfect pop song story. I was at a local club to see a band called The Baseball Project. And they happened to be made up of members of R.E.M., Mike Mills, Peter Buck in the band. He wasn't touring with them at the time, but Steve Wynn from Dream Syndicate, the guy from Young Fresh Fellows, and then Linda Pittman on drums. And she played for a great local rock band in Minneapolis, Losing Pedals. Anyway, I contacted Linda, and since the Baseball Project guys are huge baseball fans, she let me set up a table and to do glove repair during their concert, and we kind of publicized it to their fans. So, yeah. May not have heard of me, but D&J Glove Repair. But anyways, the concert was great. I recommend the Baseball Project. They have some great songs, strictly about baseball. But anyways, the night was winding down, and they were doing some encores, and Mike Mills stepped to the mic, and he did the first opening chords of Don't Go Back to Rockville. And the whole crowd lit up. There's smiles from ear to ear, and when you hit that chorus, just the whole room was singing along, and it really made me realize that Don't Go Back to Rockville is pretty much a perfect pop song. Another interesting fact about the record that came off of Reckoning, for the longest time, I listened to that record backwards, because in college, I got the vinyl from a roommate and brought it to my dorm and dubbed it onto tape. And I don't know if you recall, but the vinyl, each side wasn't one or two. It was labeled L and R. And for whatever reason, I put on R first. And so I recorded the opening track as Second Guessing. And so side two was actually my side one. So I listened to that record that way forever. And then when I finally bought the CD a few years post-college, I put the CD in, and I'm like, they tracked this CD wrong. What's going on?
So it kind of cut off there because the answering machine ran out.
Mm-hmm. Got to the magic limit.
Yeah, but we'll go to the song.
Thank you.
We've played this song before on the podcast when we talked about REM, and we talked a little bit about sort of the country nature of it, and I think I said, like, it's a great sort of jukebox song. Yeah. It feels like that. It feels really like one of those old, you know, George Jones kind of pieces, right?
Right.
What do you think makes it qualify as a perfect pop song?
You know, there's something about it, I think, in REM's overall body of work that makes it stand out. So I think, therefore, that elevates it probably in our eyes and minds, and Jimmy's, our vintage, you know, I take it. And so I think there's that. But I do think, you know, when you think about it, it's got a very interesting, intriguing sort of title and theme. You know, we talked a little bit about what the song is about, right? With girlfriends and leaving and long distance relationships and things like that. And yet it's got an intriguing, timeless sort of a quality to it. And I think it's one of those songs where the haunting loneliness kind of comes through in Michael Stipe's singing and kind of the way the arrangement is done. And there's that little figure, you know, right after the chorus that just is fantastic. Peter Buck plays that riff on his Rickenbacker.
And I think we determined that it was actually Mike Mills' sentiment, right, in the song.
That's what we learned, after doing some research. So it seems appropriate that he would play it at a Baseball Project concert, right?
Exactly.
I have to say, I've never been to a show where someone was doing baseball glove repair at the concert. That's the first time I've ever heard of that.
That's the best.
Yeah. And I'm also glad when Jimmy first said he listened to it backwards, I thought he meant like in the opposite direction. Like
right.
Literally playing the record backwards, which would be weird. I don't know what it sounds like backwards. Yeah.
But no, he was playing side. He thought side two was side one and vice versa.
Got it.
Because it was labeled L and R, which I guess left and right.
Yeah, it was typical REM. Let's break tradition in some way. And
that's pretty funny. This actually qualifies as one of the best calls we've ever gotten because it had
really
two
great.
Really funny stories in it. The
really
fact that he was actually doing his business of baseball glove repair at a show, and then the whole, like, I didn't know I was listening to this record wrong forever.
They bought the CD.
And then, no, their first reaction was they got it wrong.
Right.
But the CD must be wrong.
I'm calling them. Yeah.
That's right. That's great. Yeah. So apparently Mike Mills did write the lyrics to that as a plea to his then-girlfriend not to return to Rockville.
That's right.
I can remember this song specifically the first time I saw them in 1985 on the Fables tour because it was one of those kind of like sing-along songs.
Yeah.
And at that point in time, I was just becoming familiar with the band. Like I had just bought Fables. I don't think at that point I even had Murmur or Reckoning. I think that was the only album I had of theirs and then went to the show. And you know it's a great song when you don't know the song, you're not familiar with it before going to the show, but it like stands out, right? And this is one of those, you know, everybody's
absolutely
singing along, Don't Go Back to Rockville. You're like, what? This is the greatest thing. I just love this, you know, and it gives you a feeling of community of going to a show. This is a song that does that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That elevates it, I think, in some way.
Yeah, well said.
So, where are we here? We have another pick,
which
we're going to get to after this break. If you want to be part of a music community, one thing you could do is come to the Rock in the Suburbs live event.
I can't wait to see who turns up and says hello. I'm really looking forward to it. October 21st. It's coming up, Jim. We're only a few short days away here.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Saturday, October 21st. Mm-hmm. Get there before noon. Get
Please.
A beer. Sit down.
Get a spot.
Get a spot. We're going to talk about music. We're going to have some live performance by a singer-songwriter out of D.C. named Lisa Saeed. And as we mentioned, it's at a brewery, so can't go wrong with that.
What's not to love?
Do you think Bob Popick will show up?
I sure hope so. Yeah.
He may just sort of take over the room.
He may fly
the way
in.
He is. Yeah. Can we get him to DJ, like before and after?
It'd be beautiful. If you're listening, Bob.
All right. Yeah, that has to happen. The Orioles, sadly, will be done.
That's right.
By then. Where were we here? Okay, so go to the show.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to record podcasts in front of a live studio audience at Black Walnut Brewery in Leesburg, Virginia.
Yes.
Leesburg is the new New York. It is Saturday, October 21st, starting at noon. Anything else we need to say?
That's all you
need
to
know. Get in for free.
Yep.
And, you know, just help them out, buy a beer.
Delicious beer.
Okay, we're back with Perfect Pop.
We are back.
It is Thursday. This has been really fun week.
It really has. I just love it. It could go on for weeks and months.
I love hearing people just really talk about a song that they love.
Me
I mean,
too.
If nothing else, I could do that.
Yeah.
You know, with all these episodes, it's fantastic.
It's just great if we have the listeners call in and write in and just we have enough to do it all the time.
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic.
So please, you know, give us more of those. You're going to hear at the end of the show how you can do that. One way you can do it is by email. And we got an email here from Dave Faber.
Okay.
Of Frankfort, Illinois.
Oh, fantastic.
All right. Mm-hmm. And he writes, "Hi, Jim and Patrick. Love the show. On your most recent fan mail episode, one of the letters you read suggested having a rocking kids music episode." Now, first of all, I have to pause here for a moment and say, when he says most recent fan mail episode, we may have been holding on to this email for
That's
some
right.
time.
So it was a while back.
I don't remember. And I also don't remember the suggestion of having the rocking kids music episode. Do you?
A little bit, but not much.
It's curious because he then writes, "Jim did not seem very into the idea." I don't know why I would be against that.
Absolutely
I
not.
I have kids.
You love rocking and kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd be all for that.
Yeah,
so sorry,
too.
Dave, if I gave the wrong impression.
No, love it.
He says, "What if you combined it with Perfect Pop Week?"
Oh,
so here's where we're going. He says, "For the perfect pop song, I am nominating Not Dead Yet by The Bad Examples."
Okay.
Jim may be aware of this band as the band was out of Chicago in the late 80s, early 90s, and was played on WXRT a lot. Sorry to say I'm not really familiar with this band. So the lead singer of the band, Ralph Covert, is probably better known for founding Ralph's World.
Yes, Ralph's World, we know.
That's like a kid's music act, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they had like a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
"After adopting our first daughter in 2003, Ralph's World got a lot of airplay in the car to the point where my wife and I knew all the words to every song in order on the first album. Every once in a while, I will listen to Bedtime Girl and remember when she was 2.5 and mom and dad were her favorite things in the world. Thanks, guys, for a great show." That's really sweet. That's
it
nice.
It really is nice. I remember those days, and they're long gone. I want them to come back.
Yeah, just, you know, for a little while.
20-something children don't feel the same way.
That's right. But the song he recommends is from Ralph's band before he did the kids' music.
Yeah.
And you'll notice a difference a little bit lyrically in the song. It's called Not Dead Yet.
"Well, I was born.
Kind of a bar band blues kind of thing, right?
With some fun lyrics there that reference rock and roll history and sort of survival. I got to say, I've never heard that song before. And you know, this is my introduction to the song. Pretty incredible. I got a fact here that I want to throw at you, though, Jim, as I was just looking at something while we were listening to Not Dead Yet. Says it was released in let's see, 1991? Am I getting that right, or am I wrong on that? What year do you have there?
I'm having a hard time finding the year,
beside
too,
the point,
so
because
I will find it.
What I see here is...
Originally released on cassette. This album is called...
This makes sense.
First of all, to get people in the right frame of mind, is called Meet the Bad Examples.
Right.
But Meet is spelled... M-E-A-T.
E-A-T, right.
So a play, obviously, on Meet the Beatles, but like trying to be funny. And it was released on cassette in 87, and then the CD came out in 91.
Okay. Because the fact I have here Styx covered Not Dead Yet on their 1990 release Edge of the Century. Is that the same Styx?
That is the same Styx.
That's incredible. That blows my mind. I mean, that's a high watermark of quality right there when you get covered by Styx.
1990s Styx.
Amazing.
I don't know.
Man. I don't know. I thought that song it's a lot of fun. It has a great spirit to it. I love that little riff. You know, I like songs that have those kind of signature riffs, you know, right after the little chorus. That was great.
And played with sort of a Beatlesque kind of guitar on it, too.
Mm-hmm. And lighthearted in some ways, but also seemingly pretty dangerous.
I can relate
to the physical pain in that song.
Yes. And I can relate to the sentiment, not dead yet. You know, don't count me out, folks.
Not yet, folks. I'm hanging in there.
Yes. All right, so thank you for that pick, and I like the story about the relationship with the kids' music.
That's
and
really
all that
nice.
Stuff. That was really nice. So
really appreciate that.
We really appreciate that. I think that was a first time emailer to us, and sorry if it may have taken us a long time to get to your email.
Well, again,
we've been storing these up.
Yeah, that's
this week.
The point of emphasis here, Jim, is that we want you to call in. We may not use them right away, but we will get to them eventually.
Right. It's like Shark Week. They probably film a lot of that stuff months in advance.
Months.
And the sharks are getting upset. When am I going to see myself on TV?
I already
but
got
eventually
my check.
It gets up there.
Yeah. And I haven't been on TV yet.
Same kind of deal. So
the sharks are getting upset.
Yeah. So Perfect Pop Week, this version of it will conclude tomorrow.
Yeah.
But it will keep going in our hearts and minds because you're going to keep it going because you're going to make more suggestions for perfect pop songs, and then we'll do another week.
That's what we need. The more, you know, the sooner and the more we get of these, the sooner the next perfect pop week will take place.
Yeah. And, well, it also requires me to actually, like, compile it all, put it together, you know, 10 songs to make it work. But
and I appreciate you doing that. And I think our listeners do as well. And I'll prompt you.
All right. You can always reward me with beer. That's one way to motivate me.
I was about to say, here's a novel
or bourbon.
Way to write. Here's a novel way to send in your perfect pop pick if somebody wants to try this. Just wrap it, write it on a piece of paper, then tape that to a beer or a bottle of bourbon. Drop it off at Jim's. That'll definitely get a notice.
Please do that. All right. Well, thank you very much for the suggestions.
Yes.
Today and all this week. And we're going to come back. We have a celebrity guest
can't
tomorrow.
Wait. Yeah, these are going to be fun.
And another listener pick. So you're not going to want to miss that. You are not dead yet.
Not yet.
The way you can make your suggestions is to call the Suburban Party line.
Dial up the phone.
As Jimmy Linetti did. That number is
612-440-1984.
Do not call collect.
Nope.
You can also email us as Dave Faber did. That is rock@suburbspod.com.
Do that.
You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @suburbspod. And you can, you know, that's the way you can make a suggestion for a perfect pop song there.
Right.
And visit our website, suburbspod.com, where we have the perfect pop playlist.
Yep. The whole list there.
All that stuff.
Feel free.
And you can see the past selections.
Yep.
For that. And all right, the sun is really bright, shining bright in my eyes. Let's get out of here. Let's get on to Friday.
Yeah.
It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Well, I was born too late to be a rolling stone. I don't know Jerry Lee. I never met Johnny Noble standing with a strap. I'm rocking most passing sun. Go ahead, drunk, get wild, have fun. I don't got $1 million. Don't drive a Cadillac. Give me every chance, cause I'm not.
Pass the mouthwash.